When you're a kid, especially an only child, it's common to be dragged along with your folks no matter where they go. For my next guest, Zani Gorman, hanging around with her dad and his war buddies brought her closer to a unique chapter in American history. Zani's father, Dr. Carl Gorman, was one of the original 29 Navajo code talkers who served as communication specialists during World War II. Zani Gorman is now the curator of an exhibition about the Code Talkers, which is opening this weekend at the Arizona State Museum. I started by asking her where the idea for a Navajo code originally came from.
Well, Philip Johnston was the son of a missionary who came out to the Navajo Reservation around the turn of the century. When World War II broke out, he was living in Los Angeles, and he presented the idea to the Marine Corps to use the Navajo language in communications. And so from there, the Marine Corps, they spent actually about 3 months doing some feasibility studies to see if it was going to be possible, answering basic questions like, number one, were there enough Navajos that were bilingual that would be able to do this? Were there any stipulations between the Navajo treaty with the U.S. government that would forbid them from bearing arms, for example, in which case there were tribes that had that stipulation in their treaties. So there were just some basic questions that they were trying to get answered before they decided to give it a try.
Were the Code Talkers recruited from their homes to come and join for this specific purpose, or were there already Navajos in the service who took on this role?
There were already Navajos in the service, but they did specifically recruit for this program. The word went out on shortwave radio when the recruiters came to the reservation. So some of them heard it, you know, through the trading posts. Some of them were actually recruited out of the boarding schools. And as the Code Talker program continued and progressed, they actively recruited out of the boarding schools because, of course, they were looking for young men, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, and Navajos that were bilingual. So they figured in the schools they would find those kinds of people.
What are some of the qualities of the Navajo language that suited it to be used in this way?
The Navajos have always been very innovative, I guess. They love to make up words. They love to play word games. They like to nickname things. So, for example, you know, when World War II broke out, the first time they saw images of Hitler, they called him the man who smells his mustache because he always would kind of, you know, wrinkle up his nose and look like he was smelling his mustache. You know, so they would always come up with funny names like that. And so I think that mindset of just being able to play with words was very helpful in coming up with some of the ingenious words that they came up with in the code. They developed a code, an alphabetical code for the English language. And one of the words for the letter S was sheep. But in Navajo, the word is debe. So, for example, the word Spain, they named many of the countries. The name Spain, when you literally translated what they were saying, it said sheep pain. Well, what does that mean? Well, what they did is they took the word for the letter S, which was sheep, and then the word for pain. But when you translated it, it was sheep pain, you know, which of course wouldn't make any sense.
So there was actually more than one level to the code. It wasn't just that these men were communicating in Navajo. They were using other levels. Tell us about that.
What they did is very similar to what, you know, they've done in the military before, the Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. So for example, A, they chose the word ant, the little insect. But in Navajo, that's Wulachi. B was bear, shush. C, cat, musa, D, dog, tlechai. So that's how they set up the alphabetical code.
Did all 29 of the original code talkers survive their service in World War II?
The first 29, there was one of them that was killed in action. Out of 400 code talkers that eventually served, there were 11. There were seven that were killed in action and three that died of wounds, which is pretty amazing considering that as communications personnel, the ones that particularly were using it on the front lines, when they would land on a beach, communications was usually in the first waves to establish communications on the beach. So oftentimes they were in the more dangerous situations. So considering that, you know, that only 11 of them out of 400 were killed is pretty amazing.
Can you tell us about a mission where the Code Talkers played a vital role?
Probably one of the more significant battles that they played a major role in was the Battle of Iwo Jima. They used them as a network to, well, even before that, let me back up, because when the Marine Corps would decide they were going to attack an island, they would do reconnaissance. They would send airplanes in to photograph the island so they could then lay it out on a map and grid it. Decide, you know, well, if we come in from this side, there's too much coral on this side, so we're going to have to land on these beaches on this side. So they would do the reconnaissance and they would map out how they were going to strategize their invasion. And there were Navajo Code Talkers that were involved in the reconnaissance teams, relaying messages. And Major Howard Connor has been quoted many, many times. He's kind of become the voice of Iwo Jima and the Code Talker experience. He credits the Navajo Code Talkers that if these radio nets had not been used, there were over 800 messages that were sent during this time without error, that they would have never taken Iwo Jima. So they were played a very significant role.
What are your thoughts on the legacy of the Code Talkers today?
The Code Talkers are very, very near and dear to my heart. Obviously, growing up, my father was a Code Talker. But with many of the other men, as I said, I got dragged to everything. So, you know, many of them are like my father or like uncles to me. But for many Native Americans, and particularly Navajos, you know, these men are true heroes. They're relevant heroes. Because when you look at the mass media, you don't see Native American people. Their story is an irony of American history. These men were beaten. These men were demoralized. And for most of their young adult lives, were told that they were heathen, savages. Nothing that they had in their culture or language was worth keeping.
Even their names,
exactly. And yet the same government that was treating them this way turned around and asked them to help win a war. And then they kind of faded into obscurity. And there is a fascination about their story. You know, I travel all over the country lecturing on the Code Talkers, and it always touches me and amazes me that so many people are drawn to the story. And I think that's going to remain the case for a very long time.
Running through August 16th, the Arizona State Museum hosts Our Fathers, Our Grandfathers, Our Heroes, the Navajo Code Talkers of World War II. The museum is open to the public Monday through Saturday from 10 to 5. They're located on the western edge of the U of A campus near University and Park.